All right, thank you. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. This is a fascinating portion of Scripture. I always get challenged by this. When I came on as interim pastor 2.5 years ago, I think in, 2021? In July, you were doing a summer series on Joshua. And I preached I preached two messages, I think, in the series, but I preached from this. And I'm using the same title, but different material. So, just so you'll know, Charles Spurgeon once said, go back and look at some of your former messages and then weep. And that's true sometimes. You go back and look at some of them and you realize you need to do a little more work on them. So, this is new material, but same title, Too Young to Get Old. I like that title because it applies so greatly to Caleb. And I just love this story. And we'll read through the text in just a moment. Usually in New Year's, and we're still in that first week of the new year, and I hope this has been a time for you to set some spiritual goals for the year. I think that's always good. I read an interesting article. It was called 24 New Year's Resolutions to Reignite Your Faith in 2024. If anyone would like a copy, I'll be glad to run them off for you. I'm going to just cover a few of them. I'm not going to cover the 24, okay? But the writer said, as we close down the year, that was 2023, he said more than 44% of Americans will carve out a few moments in the coming days to craft a set of New Year's resolutions for the upcoming year. He said, the possibilities seem endless. Lose weight. That's on mine, is that, you know, I have to admit, Christmas is always terrible for me with the sweets. But I mentioned Ann Lamont last week in a podcast. She said she was talking to her therapist, and her therapist looked at her and said, so how much weight do you plan on gaining this year? And that's probably truer. He also suggested relearn social cues after nearly 4 years of living in a COVID-infused world. One of them was eat more tacos. We can identify with that one, right? Maybe pizza. But he went on to say, it seems so simple, thinking about how we can be a better version of ourselves in 2024. Write down these well-intentioned goals and objectives and then follow through to make them a reality. Doing so will make you feel much better about ourselves and in some small way help to make the world a better place. The problem is that only 31% of people stick with the promises they made to themselves the prior year. Furthermore, a rather robust 81% will fail in their pursuit by February. That's discouraging, isn't it? Those types of statistics can be highly discouraging and make us wonder why we even pursue opportunities to improve our self-worth and how it contributes to the betterment of those around us. But there is hope. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the apostle commands us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything. That literally means don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then he lists these 24, and I'm certainly not going to cover all of them, but I want to mention just a few, because I thought these were very good. The first one was read books that ignite and foster spiritual growth. I would say, and that's one of his later, but I would say the best book you could read to ignite that would be the book, the Scripture. I would encourage you to challenge yourself in that way. But he mentions Daniel 1:17. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Second one he mentioned was spend time with people who are spiritually hungry. Amen? I think that's a good one. You know, we spend time with one another. We talk about a lot of stuff. Politics, football, you know, Super Bowl coming up. But boy, let's spend time with people who are spiritually hungry. Let's talk about the Word. Let's talk about spiritual things. Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Third one was go to church on a regular basis, regularly. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Serve others on a regular basis, Galatians 5, 13, 14. Pray constantly, James 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Study the Bible regularly. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 30, verse 5. I would encourage you to start a sincere, honest, down-to-earth Bible study this year. I have some great books that will encourage you to do that if you want some suggestions. But I would encourage you. Reading through the Bible is good if you've never done that. Don't get discouraged when you get behind. It's okay if it takes 2 or 3 years, as long as you read through it, right? But I would encourage you also to pick a book of the Bible, maybe just one book, and just study it. Just take your time, go through it. Open it up every morning and just look at it and work your way through it. And you keep doing that on a regular basis. After a while, you'll cover the whole Bible. And study the Bible. Reduce screen time. Boy, there's a good one. Think of the time we'd save and that we could spend in the Word. Take inventory of your relationships and limit relationships that deplete your emotions and your ability to stay positive. Don't hang around with negative, pessimistic, grumbling, growling Baptist people or anyone. But we need to be an encouragement to one another. And he goes on with just a number of other different things. Purge anything from your life that keeps you from practicing your faith. What keeps you out of church? What keeps you from the Word of God? Choose a word for the year and try to live by it. Keep a thankful journal. Seek and find someone willing to be your mentor. Find a Paul in your life, like Timothy and Titus. Someone that'll be an encouragement. Someone you can call when you're down. And make a habit to listen more. Continually seek humility. Join a small group at your church. We have one on Wednesdays. We have one on Sunday morning at 9:30. Try fasting. Ooh, too early in the year to talk about that. Amen. My older brother said the only problem with fasting is you can't eat. And I thought this was way down the list, 21. Start tithing consistently. I think that's a good one. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now the storehouse is the church. That there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgate of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God blesses a cheerful giver. Now, we'll take from anybody that's grumpy, but God is going to bless you if you give cheerfully. Amen? Make a resolution so big and so prosperous that only God can make it happen. Boy, I had to stop and think about that. Would you just think about that? Make a resolution, make a commitment, make a spiritual goal so big and so prosperous that only God can make it a reality. Jeremiah 32, 27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for God? I think a good one would be, you know, let's pray that God will give me someone. I I thought about this, and I'm still pondering it, because next week I'm going to start a series on evangelism. And we're going to look at that for maybe 3 or 4 weeks. But I thought maybe we ought to take the whole year and just have a Who's Your One. We did it last summer, but I'm not sure we really were very successful. At least I didn't get a lot of feedback. But, you know, 12 months, surely we could start praying for someone. Do you not think God would work on someone's life? I think we saw that in our morning Bible study this morning, don't you, Fred? When you pray and you're open and you're consistent, God will reach out. Follow me as I read through chapter 14 and take note of some things you want to really mark here. Now, the first 5 verses, you'll notice in the outline, is just a summary of the position. These are the inheritance that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers, houses of the tribes of the people of Israel gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them, for the people of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in, but their pasture lands for the livestock and their substance. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. So they started dividing the land that Joshua had been leading them up to this point. And now keep in mind, I just mentioned this, you can research this later, but the Levites, you know, they were part of the they already received help and substance and tithes, and so they didn't have the need there like the others. Now, verse 6 on down, you're going to see here, you're going to see 3 times in verse 8, 9, and 14, Joshua's going to refer to that, "Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." Underline that when you see it or mark it. Verse 6, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me are made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God.' And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old." 45 years later, after the promise. I hope you comprehend the context there and the reference back to Numbers 14 and Deuteronomy 1, which is where he received that promise. Verse 11, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming." I thought about that. I thought, well, in my old age, I'm not sure I had that strength. But I thought, spiritually, I do. I thought, spiritually, I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. And hopefully, I'm as strong today as I was last year. But notice his testimony as he goes on, "For now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Now what a great challenge, and let me just try to break that down and help us to make application to this today, because I think there's just tremendous application to this. And I think it's something that all of us ought to be challenged. You know, if we're not careful, we get pretty wimpy when it comes to spiritual things. And we're full of excuses and full of grumbling and growling. And I think about Caleb here, and you think about the context from which he is making reference. Consider this truth now. Success isn't about the ambitious resolutions. It's about committing to daily rituals that reinforce our faith and reinforce our core values. That's why I like to refer to them as spiritual goals. Let's don't worry about resolutions. Let's make some spiritual goals that are pleasing to God, because we want to wholly follow the Lord our God. And you're not going to wholly follow the Lord your God if you don't set some goals and strive to do something, to step out of your comfort zone. And so we see that, you know, that we remember our steadfast devotion to these rituals makes the year more manageable spiritually, so that we don't end up a month or two down the road and, I've just fallen back in the same old, and same old struggles, same old weaknesses. Not just the goals we set in January, but building our faith daily is crucial. Write your goals down and look at them daily and pray over them. And sometimes give yourself a swift kick in the posterior and get things moving. Sometimes we get just so wimpy in this Christian life. And that's why we don't set some goals, you know, that moves us out of the comfort zone and maybe something that we've never gotten involved in. It just, this will fuel your strength. And it'll fuel your strategies for achieving the goals that God lays on your heart. Now, make sure you pray about those goals. Don't set unrealistic goals. But also, don't set just easy stuff. Now, if you look at Numbers 14, 24, and if you look at Deuteronomy 1, verses 34 and 36, you'll see that's when the promises were made. And you remember the story about Caleb and Joshua and the spies that went up, and they came back, and all the spies were running scared. There were giants in the land. Boy, we can't. But Caleb and Joshua stood out, and they said, no, we trust God because he promised us, and we trust his power. And you remember God judged the people because of that wimpiness, and so they spent almost 40 years, about 38 some years, wandering in the wilderness. Now think about Joshua and Caleb. They were faithful to God. God made a promise to them. Now think about that, 40 years. They're wandering in the wilderness. And after that 40 years, all the other Israelites gave up the ghost. They died. But here's Joshua and Caleb now, faithfully serving God and claiming that promise. That's why the central idea, I thought, we are never too young or too old to serve the Lord. Let's don't in our old age. Listen, the older we get, the closer we are to being with the Lord, right? So let's don't waste our time. Let's don't waste our time fooling around, griping and grumbling around, and letting Satan get in the, our minds and our hearts and reminding us of our weaknesses and our past failures. But it's time that, you know, we just do some things for God. And think about what a blessing that would be to our church if some of us just make up our mind we're going to wholly follow the Lord God. And Caleb demonstrates this in his life. And so we see in those first five verses, we just see a summary, a reminder there. But you'll notice Roman numeral 2, you see Caleb's request take place when you get to verse 6. Now, Caleb was determined that his life would end well. Have you thought about that? I heard an old preacher say years ago, he said, my greatest thought is that one day I would die and I would stand before the Lord and the Lord would remind me of how much I wasted and how much I spent my time on things that had no eternal value. And so I think that's why when we look at Caleb and we think about, you know, his testimony at this ripe age of 85. Ripe age of 85. He refused to consider for a moment that he had reached this age and now he was well stricken in years and he just refused to give in to that. Caleb would say, you know, I'm ready to tackle a mountain. We saw that. And listen, Caleb chose a piece of land that still had enemies in it. And he chose a piece of land that wasn't the choice piece. And he had to go in there and clear it out physically, mentally, and spiritually. That's why he could say, I want my mountain. I want this mountain. Do you have a mountain in mind? Do you have a mountain in your heart? Do you have something that you want to see God do? It might be a physical. It might be an emotional. It might be mental. It might be spiritual. It might be all of those. But listen, we don't know when the Lord's coming. His coming is imminent. It could be at any time. And it's going to be too late when we hear the trumpet sound, right? As we're heading up in the heavens to meet the Lord, it's going to be too late to speak to that neighbor, to speak to that person, to reach out to that loved one, to reach out to that relative. It's going to be too late to do those things that God has called us to do. Caleb was ready to take his mountain. Caleb's attitude was, me? Retire? Now, you might retire from a job, but don't retire from the Lord. Don't say, oh, man, I'm going to sit back in the recliner now and just, oh. Listen, God has something for you. And he wants to use you in these last days, and he wants to bless you. Me retire? When I decided to retire from my previous church, a man in my church, he was in law enforcement, by the way, he said, I guess you're going to move to Florida and start playing golf. I said, well, I don't like Florida. My mom lived there. I hated it in the summer. I mean, you'd break out in the sweat all over and have to change clothes just going to the mailbox to get your mail. And I said, golf, I like golf, but it costs too much, and I spend too much time in the poison ivy trying to find my ball. And so, no, I'm not going to do that. But listen, Caleb's attitude was, me, retire and play golf, not me. Give me an untamed mountain. Give me a goal. Because I trusted God 45 years ago, and I trust him today because he has kept his promise, and I'm here to claim it. Now, I want to share a long story with you, and I'm running out of time, but I'll try to get through this quickly. This really fits in here, and I want you to listen carefully. Most of you are familiar with George Mueller, right? And And you'll notice how this fits into the pattern here. You'll notice, as I mentioned in your notes, he remembered God's promise, verses 6 and 7. And you see that in the text there. He remembers his own commitments in verses 8 and 9. You see that, don't you? Yet I wholly follow the Lord. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord. And then verses 10 through 12, he remembers God's faithfulness. Listen, God has been faithful to you, right? God has been faithful to us, even when we haven't been faithful to him. Caleb remembered God's faithfulness. You remember the story about George Mueller? He was a preacher in England. God laid it on his heart to start this orphanage. But I want you to listen to some things I pulled out of this story that I read about him. It said, by the time George Mueller reached 70, he had already accomplished more than a half a dozen ordinary men could accomplish in their combined lifetimes. His work with orphans started with a handful of supplies that amounted to a tiny trickle, some small change, 3 dishes, 28 plates, 3 basins, 1 jug, 4 mugs, drinking mugs, 3 salt stands, 1 crater, 4 knives, and 5 forks. But the work had grown and grown. Eventually, there were 5 large buildings and a considerable staff and 2,050 boys and girls in his orphanages. Through the years, some 10,000 homeless boys and girls had been housed, fed, clothed, educated, and settled in gainful employment. Mueller had given away large sums of money to help Sunday schools and day schools at home and abroad. Listen, when you give away, God gives back. We need to remember that as a church. We plant churches, God will grow our church. God blesses a generous person, he blesses a generous church. He had circulated nearly 2 million Bibles and Testaments. He had distributed over 3 million books and tracts. It would be a hopeless task to try to calculate the cost of all this. The figures given in pounds sterling would be astronomical and just unbelievable. And yet, he accepted that challenge to continue to serve God. And it said these figures in pounds would have to be multiplied by the rate of orphanage and then an inflation factor representing the difference between the purchasing power of a dollar 150 years ago and a dollar today. The dollar amount would be astronomical, yet Mueller, a poor man, obtained every penny by asking God for it. He did not ask anyone else for so much as one penny. He made a covenant when he started the orphanage. He said, I will only ask God for my needs, no one else. At the age of 70, Mueller decided the time had come for a change. When most of us would be thinking of a retirement home, he looked for a global parish. During the first 8 years after his conversion, he had offered himself as a candidate for the mission field 5 times, but he had always been turned down. One wonders about the spiritual insight of the mission boards that rejected such a man. Now Mueller decided he had no need for a mission board, and he started his own. He traveled some 200,000 miles long before the age of the airplane, visited 42 countries, and preached at least 6,000 times. For over 17 years, he was a living demonstration to hundreds of thousands of people that Hebrews 11:6 says, God is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. At 91, Mueller said, I am very near the end of my earthly pilgrimage. Still, I am able to work every day and all day too. I preach 5 or 6 times a week. Besides, I am unspeakably happy. At 91, that was George Mueller, a man of God, and that was Caleb. At 85, he could say, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. Caleb knew the fight ahead. He understood the situation. He had been there. I want you to look at something just quickly. I want you to look at that word wholeheartedly for me. Look at it in verse 8, verse 9, and verse 14. It's a unique word related to Caleb's life and ministry. In the original language, it was a nautical term that refers to a ship pushing straight ahead, no matter what. And as we like to include occasional preaching and consider the situation in the context, I want you to think about 3 factors that applied to Caleb's life against this kind of faithful commitment and dedication. Now keep in mind this. He was dedicated under pressure, right? He dedicated his life under pressure. When the majority caved in, he and Joshua didn't. They were dedicated. Even when the 10 spies spoke against him, Caleb stuck to his convictions. Even when the Israelites were ready to stone both Caleb and Joshua, they remained steadfast in their faith. Secondly, he was dedicated under difficulties. Caleb endured 38 years in the wilderness for a sin he did not commit. He watched family members and friends die in the desert, and yet he remained true to God. Thirdly, he was dedicated under the shadow of another leader. Have you ever thought about that? Though Caleb had impeccable character, he is not chosen to be the leader after Moses retired as the head of the tribe, and he did not become the leader of Israel. Nevertheless, Caleb followed and served faithfully in whatever position God told him to hold. Now, I ask you a simple question this morning. Are you listening? Everybody listening? Is our dedication to God wholehearted? Are we just drifting, flip-flopping, doing a little something here and there? Or are we honest and sincere about, boy, this is for God? This is not for the church, not for the pastor, not for the deacons, not for those around me. I'm amazed, even in a small congregation, how we're influenced by other people. They're in church, we're in church. They're not in church, we're not in church. Not Caleb. He wholeheartedly. Do we follow him even when the crowd goes the other way? Even when things get tough? Even when we must accept our given positions in life? See, the excuses are too easy. And listen, we're full of excuses, aren't we? No one else is doing it God's way. Nobody else is doing it. This is too hard. And besides, it's not my fault. And boy, we like, you know, the devil made me do it. It isn't fair. This isn't fair. I don't deserve this. I've been in this church too long. I don't deserve this. Well, bless your little heart. God still has a work for you to do. And it's spiritual. And it's to glorify him. You see, Caleb kept his focus on God in this wholehearted devotion, and he laid down this model, this historical model for all of us to lead. Now, we're not talking about some fairy story here. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about a real action-packed activity that took place. And can't you see us wandering around in that wilderness for 38 years? God, I don't deserve this. Why? What did I do to... What did I... Watching people die. Yet he stayed faithful. And that's why he could say, Lord, you promised me. Now I want my mountain. Now what are your promises today? He's promised us heaven. And it's not too far away. And we're going to have the blessed hope and heavenly blessing at that point. And it's so easy for us just to cave and give in. And even after 85 difficult years, Caleb had a great attitude about serving God and fighting for God. He wasn't tired out. In fact, he was just getting excited. Now, I'm not saying we don't get tired. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's not okay to get tired. I'm in there sometimes when, boy, I know I need to go to the gym, but man, if I could just rest 20 or 30 minutes, maybe I'll make it 40. Maybe I'll just work out at home today. Listen, we all get tired. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we don't have aches and pains and tiredness. And I got aches and pains. I never knew you could get aches and pains in those places. I go to get a shot here and a shot there, and hope it gets some relief. Caleb wasn't tired out. In fact, he was just getting started. He was excited. He didn't walk up to his old buddy Joshua to ask for a maintenance-free, energy-saving home. He didn't say, well, Joshua, I was in the forefront there. You got the leadership position. He didn't say that. He didn't ask for a big house with a wraparound porch and a rocking chair on every side. He didn't ask for that. He wanted the very area that had intimidated the other 10 spies. He said, give me that area that those 10 wimpy guys didn't have the faith to claim. Give me that, Lord. I want that mountain. And the rest of the Israelites were probably glad to let him have it. Listen, don't ever be surprised at what God wants to do in your life. But he has to do it in you before he can do it through you. That's why I began by talking about some things we could do this year. Do you have a systematic Bible study? Do you have a systematic prayer life? Do you have a conviction of sharing the gospel? Say, well, I want to be tactful. I'm just waiting for the right time. And you might lose that right time. And so we see the importance here. One writer said, it reminds me of one of my favorite stories about a shoe salesman who was sent to a remote area of the world to sell shoes. He soon gave up dejected because no one in that area wore shoes. The company sent another salesman. As soon as he got there, he quickly reported back with enthusiasm. He said, send lots of shoes. Everyone here needs them. Boy, and you'll notice as you look at the verses 13 through 15 just quickly, you'll see there Joshua's response. He blessed Caleb and he gave him Hebron. You see in those previous verses 6 through 12, the promise gave Joshua and Caleb joy and courage as they endured those years of wandering and waiting. And you know, church work and church ministry, I mean, it's not pie in the sky, sweet by and by every week. It's not summer camp. It's not revival. It's not, you know, some weeks it's just putting your shoulder to the plow and doing the work that nobody else wants to do, maybe. And so we see here in those final verses that Caleb, five times in those previous verses, Caleb referred to God's promises. No wonder Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him his inheritance. Caleb had a perspective that allowed him to see God as greater than any giant he might face. You see, if you see how big and how powerful and how faithful God is, there's no giants in this world that's going to discourage you. Our biggest discouragement comes when we give in to our, you know, just give in to our weakness and I'll do it next time. And so, like Caleb, as we walk in our dependence on God and our dependence on His promises, and we see Him work, our faith grows stronger. When you see God's blessing, and don't get caught up in looking around you. Just ask God to work in your life, in your areas. Caleb had been on some wild rides in the wilderness. And I can imagine some of those days. Goodness, can you imagine the grumbling and griping and growling and pessimism and the negative attitude? Can you imagine what he heard in that tramping around? And you know that place, they wandered in the wilderness, they wandered in a circle all the good night. But Caleb was confident that God would not let him down. And you know what? God didn't. Caleb glorified God. And again in verse 14, because he followed the Lord of Israel. Francis Schaeffer says, back in Joshua's day when the master conquest was over, God was the same, his promise was the same, his power the same. But the people did not possess their possessions because of their desire for peace and for tribute. We Christians stand in the same danger. It is all too easy to fail to possess the possessions God has promised because we either draw back out of fear of the troubles that being a Christian will bring us, or we become caught up in the affluent society where people sail their little boats upon this plastic culture. Where people sail their little boats upon this plastic culture. Israel only possessed as much of the land as they occupied. As they obeyed, God blessed and gave them more. They only got that which they occupied. What kind of challenge do you have? What kind of land? What kind of spiritual blessings do you want to occupy this year? Who is it in your family that really needs the Lord? Boy, let's pray and ask God to do something. Amen. Who it is with whom you work. Who it is. Who's your friend. Look out in this society. We see people struggling with hopelessness and Christlessness. Addictions are running rampant. And even within our own struggles sometimes, maybe addictive to something that you need to overcome, you need to get a hold of because you know you're not glorifying God until you get that. Too young to be old. Let's look forward to a great year, amen? Amen. Let's set some spiritual goals and ask God to do something in our lives personally, in our families, in our church. Let's just kick the slats out and put our shoulder to the plow and just ask God to bless and in spite of us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the many blessings that we enjoy because of you. We thank you for your love for us. And Lord, again, we have to thank you for your Word. Goodness, man like Caleb. True story. 85 years old. God, give me this mountain. Help me to set some spiritual goals to reignite my faith for this coming year. And Lord, I pray that as we work together and as we encourage one another and as we serve you, I pray that you'll do just some great faith-building, faith-honoring answers to prayer in our lives individually, and in our church as a whole. We thank you again for the many blessings we enjoy because of you. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I trust that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. I wonder if there's anyone that doesn't know the Lord you'd like me to pray for you this morning. Would you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. I wonder, as you think about your own life spiritually, I wonder if you would close that door. We won't hear that. I wonder if God has laid some spiritual goals on your life as we just bow our heads and close our eyes. Has God laid some spiritual goals this year? I wonder if you just slip your hand up and just indicate that. Yes, I have some spiritual goals this year that I'm... You have some spiritual goals this coming year that God has laid on your heart? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, yes, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? God has laid some spiritual goals on my life this year. And I want to pray that God will give me the faith of a Caleb to accomplish them. Anyone else? Slip your hand up quickly. Thank you, thank you. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your blessings today. We thank you for church. And we ask this in Jesus' name, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.